Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production of Entercom Communications. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Caroline Robertson, Executive Director of Greer Relief. And Caroline, I was telling you before the program that I've been doing this special installment called the COVID Chronicles. It's my pleasure to inform you that we are now up to episode 30 of the COVID Chronicles on Focus on the Upstate. So welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. And oh, how sad, COVID.
I know. It's 30 weeks, effectively, that I've been doing this. And
deep breath.
I remember talking to people back at the beginning of all of this in March and April of 2020, and there was a lot of uncertainty. In fact, I remember relating it to 9/11, the period right after 9/11, mm-hmm. where nobody knew what was going to happen.
Right.
I mean, it was just days and weeks after 9/11, and it was...
We held our breath.
We collectively as a nation held our breaths to find out what was going to happen. In the hours after that, we didn't know if more attacks were coming. In the days after that, mm-hmm. we didn't know how we were going to recover. We didn't know how many people had been hurt yet. And in the weeks after that, we didn't know what the response was going to be.
Yeah.
And obviously now that's all history for us, but it felt very much the same, obviously in a different direction, but
it was very focused on
kind of the same mm-hmm. feeling at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, where we just didn't know where this was going. And I think at the time, I mean, there was speculation obviously in any direction, but
yes.
at the time I don't know that anybody really expected it to be over before the end of the year. We hoped obviously that it would be over before the end of the year. Now apparently 30 weeks in, or at least 30 episodes in, we're still in what could be considered a pandemic, and it's had an effect on a lot of people and a lot of businesses and a lot of nonprofits, as I've been learning over the past several weeks.
Sure.
But let me start with my favorite question to begin an interview like this, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Tell us about Greer Relief for those who don't know.
Okay.
What do you guys do?
So we exist to transform our neighbors. We want our neighbors in need to thrive. And we do that by helping eliminate poverty and helping them overcome the barriers that they have in their lives so that they can be successful. So we want a better community for our neighbors. And our neighbors are not just Greer. And that's a misnomer in our name. Even though we are Greer Relief, we care for our neighbors in Taylor's. We care for our neighbors in Greenville. We care for our neighbors in Duncan and Lyman and Welford and StarTex. So we care for our neighbors beyond just the property lines of Greer and those that live in Greer. So we look out for our neighbors around us.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because so frequently I have on this program organizations that either have a specific locality in their name, mm-hmm. Greenville, whatever, or the Spartanburg Society for thus
whatever.
And such, but or it's an organization that maybe doesn't have that in their name, but they do serve a specific area. They just serve Greenville County or Lawrence mm-hmm. County or Anderson County or whatever it is. And I always make a point of asking, first of all, what is the area that you serve, and are there other organizations around outside your area that you either partner with or know about, so that people can get in touch with them to get the same kinds of services that Greer Relief provides?
And the answer to that, both of those, is we do have a specific service area, although I will say COVID and some funding that has become available
yeah.
through COVID has blurred the lines.
Yeah,
is probably the best way to
a lot of lines blurred
that.
During this.
We do traditionally, and our service area is very focused on the services being focused on Greer, Taylor's, Duncan, Lyman, Welford, and StarTex. So that is our service area specifically.
Okay.
However, funding...
The sort of area between Greenville and Spartanburg.
Yes, that buffer, that little in-between zone, so not the Greenville proper and not the Spartanburg proper. However, Greenville has allotted for a lot of resources to be available, and we have gone beyond our traditional service area and gone into Greenville and have been able to, because of those specific resources, been able to serve neighbors in Greenville, throughout Greenville, the community. So, it will end when those resources are expended and done, and we will come kind of shrink back to our normal service area. But at this point in time, we're doing the do and continuing to serve at the greater capacity, including Greenville. It's amazing the partners we have in our community and how wonderful it is to be able to pick up the phone and call Center for Community Services in Simpsonville and say, hey, Andrew, what can we do to partner and help somebody with utilities while we're helping them with rent? Or pick up the phone and talk to somebody in Greenville and do the same thing. And there is that partnership among organizations where we can and do partner. And we have the same thing in Spartanburg County, too, actually at a greater level even in Spartanburg County, because we share a resource database where we can actually do that within the system and don't even have to pick the phone up. We can just send it throughout that system. But it's just amazing that resources have become available. We've been able to expand beyond, but with that, it's been overwhelming. As much as people have been overwhelmed by this pandemic, and you know, emotionally, and we have been overwhelmed with the need, and overwhelmed with trying to keep up with those that are in need and the many needs they have. So the thing that with the pandemic, as you said, 30 episodes, expanding so far beyond, because at first, you know, it's like, 2 weeks, and then it's a month, and then it's 6 weeks, and then it's 2 months, has been so many unknowns into the greater future. And then, you know, there's the kids going back to school or not going back to school, and then they're virtual school, and next week they're going to come back home again. Right. And our neighbors in need who are really, truly doing the best they can, going to work as best they can, and when they're working the jobs that they have, and it's hourly, and you know, paycheck to paycheck, when their kids are at home, they have to be home with them, which means they're not able to go to their day-to-day, hour-to-hour, paycheck to paycheck job, and the chances of them keeping that opportunity are limited. So it just the myriad of barriers that become into their lives at that point in time just pile up, in addition to the ones that they already had pre-pandemic. And just trying to I keep going back to keep our head above water. We're really trying to do, and we're not just trying to do it for them, we're trying to do it for ourselves.
Sure.
And ourselves within the walls of Greer Relief, our team is also, suffering too. We also have our own challenges with our own families and I've got my entire family is my husband is working from home. My kids are, they're on the 2 day a week school. I consider myself blessed that I have teenagers.
Yeah.
So they can, for the most part, fend for themselves on a day-to-day, and dad doesn't have to, hammer them and school them as much. But it's still trying to keep on track of where they are, when they are, when they're supposed to be, when they're not supposed to be, that type of thing, while I'm still going to work. So it's a lot for everybody.
It is a lot. Well, and this is one of the things that we've talked about on this program over the weeks that the pandemic has continued. And specifically, we heard so many stories about, whether people were going to be able to make their rent, whether they were going to be able to pay their utility bills, whether they were going to be able to buy food. And that's exactly the kind of wheelhouse that Greer Relief operates in.
It is.
I imagine that that all of that just got worse during the pandemic, but I don't have any statistics to speak to that. And you mentioned earlier that it affects everybody, obviously, but it's going to affect the people who were already worse off the most.
And immediate.
And immediately, yes. And because they're struggling the most, and then losing what little income they have just is devastating.
Yes. And to that point as well, we had, so on the immediate response, we saw a 200 to 250% increase in people and then financial assistance needs.
Wow.
In the first 6 weeks of COVID. And it has been st- steadily just high need. And by high need, we normally see need of, I need help with my rent, I need help with my utilities, but on a month to, you know, a small month or two, or rent month or two, this time of year is rough because XYZ, but this isn't an ongoing basis. Some people have not been able to return to work since their kids have been staying at home or on the virtual schedule where they can't have a consistent schedule. Thankfully, some of the elementary are going back somewhat full-time. So if they've got little kids, somebody's got to be at home with them. And daycares aren't always able to operate on, some of them have, but not all of them have been able to operate on a five-day capacity.
Right.
So consistency has been an issue. And when consistency is an issue, they've got to stay home. And being able to, it has really affected our neediest of neighbors the most, because they're the wait staff, they're the, you know, convenience workers, they're the ones that are already living paycheck to paycheck, hour to hour. So the blessing though is that funding has, in Greenville County at least, funding has really come through at a high level, and we have been able to help quite a bit and beyond our traditional borders. Spartanburg has come through, but not quite as high level as Greenville has. As far as assistance, we've still been able to do more, just not quite as much more.
Well, it's something at least.
Yes, it is, and we're still helping. We're still able to, but we can't step outside of our traditional service area, and we do still have funding available, but it's still at our more traditional levels. Where in Greenville, we're able to do several months at a time rather than just our traditional 1 month at a time. We're able to help at a much greater rate.
What's going on with the food co-op? I know that you guys have been founding partners, really.
Yes.
Probably about, I'm guessing, 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yes. We have, unfortunately, because of the nature of the co-op, have had to put that on a stop hold.
Was that just for the pandemic?
Because of the pandemic, we had to. The facility, of course, Greer Community Ministries, we were meeting in, they closed to any outside services. They were operating their Meals on Wheels program from the parking lot. We at that time, you know, just for the safety of them as well as the safety of our participants, said, okay, we're going to put a hold on the program at this point in time, and just because it's a very hands-on program where people, they unload the truck,
right?
They divvy out the food to other people and other households. So without being able to really monitor and check everybody and know for sure that they're coming in and they really are well and able to monitor and manage that food, because they're distributing food, then we just were like, to better be safe. So what we did instead is it's a better for all now. We actually increased our food distribution from once every 3 months to once a month. So our response was, instead of having the food co-op, which was a small group of people, let's start giving out our emergency food pantry at a greater rate. And okay. So that's helping the many at a higher rate. So we now, instead of once every 3 months coming for food, folks can now come, and it has been since the pandemic started in March, they can now come once a month. So there's that regular distribution of food, and of course perishables are still a part of that.
Right.
We were able to be part of the group that received some special commodities, and were able to distribute some fresh produce in addition to what we were getting from Loaves and Fishes. And we, with additional funding, have now, even when that funding ended, we've now even been able to continue that on our own and have a partnership with Taylor Brothers to add perishable food boxes to our orders every week.
Fantastic.
So, yes. So that started this week, actually. They did it for the summer, and then we were able, it was like a two-week, I think, hiatus, and then we've now picked it up starting this week.
Well, and this kind of gets into the next question that I wanted to ask, which is, how have you adapted? How, you know, what other changes have you made to continue providing the services? I mean, we've heard so much about, telemedicine has taken off during this pandemic, the virtual learning. I mean, and as roughly as that's gone and as much trouble as people are having with, you know, as you mentioned, keeping kids at home some days and having them go to school other days, to turn around that sort of project as fast as the school systems did around here, I think it deserves some credit.
They had a quick decision to make, and they made it. They really made it very fast. And I will say they made it back in March, that decision to turn that around that quickly, at that time was the decision they had to make.
Right.
And they made it, and then the state shut down at the same, almost at the same time. It was, I think, a week or two delay. But it's still, though, it was very much
right
in the same zone.
Right at the end of the school year anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it was a ramp down. There was, I think it was the last 9 weeks that kind of was on an interesting point.
Yes.
But
how did Greer Relief adapt?
So overnight, we went from operating open door to having a closed door, having a doorbell and call, come in, check in, go back to your car system. Online application, so we adapted our application for an online. We still have that available for folks to paperless, be able to complete everything and then send it to us. So they limit their time and need to be here at Greer Relief. And so limiting folks' need to show up and be present. And we started taking applications and information via email, which we had never done. And we'd always been a, hey, show up in our service hours, come in, turn in your paperwork all at the same time, and then we will then see you for case management. Case management is still now by phone and possibly by video Zoom if available. All of our renew classes are, we did take a little bit of a break with those classes. It just was very difficult for us to turn everything around and our volunteers to turn everything around, but we are now back to full scope with our renew classes, and most of them are available through Zoom, if not Zoom and in person. So that has been, we have really adapted that.
How's that been working out?
Fast. It's been interesting. We've had bumps.
To say the least.
We've had bumps. Our application took a little bit of tweaking here and there, but it works. And getting paperwork back has probably been the greatest challenge, because it takes a lot of communication to be able to say, okay, we need this, this, and this. Where's the bill? So we might get everything but the bill, and we, of course, need that to be able to process any, you know. And then we have the case management appointment and then move forward from there. So sometimes things take a little bit more time when it's being handled. And then if they're only sending us information at nighttime when we're not here, and then it takes us calling them, there might be some that's been a challenge, is that if they're sending it to us and then we're calling them back and then we're playing a bunch of phone tag.
Right.
That has been the greatest challenge right there, where if they're bringing it to us, obviously we're taking care of that right then and there face to face. Now we have reopened the facility fully. Greer Relief reopened in July, but it was the doorbell call, come in, see somebody, go, and then we're trying to limit face to face, trying to keep within that 15 minutes. We have been giving out food, by the way, the entire time. We never stopped. So food
was...
Well,
that's good. You were closed from roughly, I guess, March or April to the beginning of July?
Yes, but not closed. So we were still here and operating, just applications.
So many were, because I tried to make donations. You know, we had stuff that we were getting rid of. You go donate it to Miracle Hill or whoever, mm-hmm. I went to take a donation, and it was just like, no, we can't,
up.
We can't, yeah.
No. We were still here. We were still taking donations. We still had volunteers coming. We just had to be very careful. We have wellness checks that we have. The team and our volunteers are doing wellness checks, including temperature, self-reporting temperature checks and stuff, just to make sure that everybody's staying as safe as they can. And, you know, for a little while there, when they were really, really making sure to wipe everything down, we'd wipe everything down. Now we're still wiping counters and stuff like that, but not so much as much the donations.
Sure.
And we've got all the spray sanitizer and stuff like that. The city comes in daily and does the fogger, the sanitizer
right,
fogger
yeah.
for us. So at daily, we have that coming through the facility to help maintain some more sanitation and safety precautions for the entire facility, including our donations and volunteers. So, I mean, we're trying to stay as safe as possible. But again, we never actually closed. We just shifted how we did the service.
Yeah.
So we went from the open door to the doorbell wait in your car concept to the doorbell wait in the lobby to come on in. So it just shifted as to where you were going to actually be if you were on site. But again, we did for a decent amount of time, it was sending the information. If you're applying for financial assistance, it was sending us the information online. And we're still doing some of that, just not as much, doing that more for the homebound. Or if you are sick, we don't want you here. We
right.
want you to stay
yes,
home.
Of course.
We want you to stay safe in your space and us safe in our space, and you send as much information as you can online so that we can all be well. But food has just been flying out the door and off the shelves.
I can imagine.
Since we, of course, dropped down to that monthly distribution, it's been, you know, pretty consistent, the same people. We've had new folks come in as well, but our food assistance has increased significantly, almost double for regular food assistance. And it's been good for the volunteers to be able to come in, because we've really developed some good long relationships now since we've been in this situation since March, some that started with us just at the beginning of the pandemic that are just
yeah.
invaluable.
I've heard a number of stories from people who were, you know, like just starting new businesses, like
right
at the beginning. And it just, I mean, in fact, I had heard from a number of other nonprofits that they had to cancel fundraisers. Did you
yes,
have to do that too?
Or was your calendar spared?
Okay.
We first thought we could postpone it. We had an event outside. It was a festival. It was called Zymergy, Celebration of All Things Fermented. And we were supposed to be outside
in
April.
That sounds fantastic. Why didn't I hear
yes. that? Well, we can talk about that some more. It's next April. I believe it was the 21st or something. So it's next April. We're still doing it, just next year. And it's going to have spirits and beer and wine. So it's going to be an event that you'll want to attend that. And but
details on your website or what?
Details on the website, yes.
Gotcha.
Details are on the website.
CareerRelief.org.
At featured events, yes. So go to our calendar, featured events. And then we postponed it to August, and then of course August wasn't any better. So
right.
yeah, we then were like, well, what do we do? We are getting into our really busy time of the year. We still have events. We did have our golf tournament. I'm so happy we had our golf tournament at Cherokee Valley, beautiful Cherokee Valley, and it was our second best golf tournament ever.
Fantastic.
So happy. We had our neighborhood breakfast, which is our awareness event. We were able to have a first in-person inside event. Yes, it happened. Didn't have a lot of people, but that's okay. We had it with Grace Church, and it was wonderful. It was beautiful. Then we have coming up, we've actually got the Santa is still coming to town. Christmas parade.
Yes, we were talking before the program
yes.
that actually as we're recording this, Thanksgiving is just less than 2 weeks away.
Yes.
In fact, some people will be listening to this after Thanksgiving, so Merry Christmas, I guess.
yes.
But that was news. Say that again. The parade is still going on.
Yes. So Greer Christmas Parade and all the activities surrounding it. So Friday, December 4th, we've got Farmers Market in the Park and Dine on Trade, which has become a popular event already in the short period of time during the pandemic. And Greer Relief is participating with s'mores and hot chocolate on Victoria Street. Saturday the 5th, the city is still having their breakfast with Santa with a new interesting way of introducing Santa. And then Sunday, December 6th at 2:30 is the Greer Christmas Parade. So we're very excited to still be able to host this wonderful family tradition. We have, for the second year, we're having a sensory safe zone. So for those that are that need a little bit of quiet but want to enjoy a parade atmosphere. We have the first block of the parade starting at the Greer Clock. Is going to be the sensory safe zone. And then we also, just because, of course, the pandemic and all the crazy we've got going on, we will have sanitation stations available throughout the parade. It's going to have masks and sanitizer. So if you need a little extra something to be safe at the parade, please look for those sanitation stations. And we are asking for all those in attendance to please wear a face covering and respect social distancing efforts for all involved.
Is Greer one of the cities that passed an ordinance like
no,
that?
I know there were. No ordinance. We're asking people to be safe. We're asking them to just reasonable and be safe. We are making reasonable measures to reduce the risk. We don't want anybody to come away from our parade and be sick. So we just want everybody attending to take personal responsibility in deciding whether they're going to come or not, especially if anybody feels like they're sick. We definitely want them to stay safe in their own home. The parade is going to be shown on Facebook Live. It will also be on the radio.
Oh, nice.
It will also be shown on YouTube. It will be available on the Greer Relief YouTube channel after the parade. So if people want to enjoy, if they're not feeling well or not feeling safe to be at a space like the parade,
but they still want to participate.
But they still want to see it and still want to participate and watch it. We want them to feel safe in their home and watch it on the screen. So we just want everybody to, you know, be reasonable and do whatever they feel they need to do to be safe.
Understood. Speaking of participation, you mentioned that volunteers had still been showing up during the whole pandemic. How do people get involved if they want to donate either their money or their time? What do they need to do?
They need to reach out. When you go to our website at greerrelief.org, you can click the button that says exactly that, get involved. And on the get involved, it's got different ways you can. You can either click the button that says ways to get involved, and it just gives you a smorgasbord of opportunities, including volunteer, donate, advocate, supporting an event, hosting a drive, and it also has our wish list. So we are embarking on...
I was just going to ask, what do you need most?
We are embarking on our Christmas time, and we're still in the process of looking for sponsors and folks and volunteers to get involved with our Christmas morning shop. This is our very special Renew program, where our participants, they learn and earn Renew rewards so that they can participate in our Christmas program. So this is not a Christmas program where they fill out a wish list and then they show up and pick up Christmas for their family. This is a program where they learn and earn Christmas. And there's dignity back into this program so that they're able to go into our Christmas morning shop and actually pick out Christmas for their own family. Sponsors don't actually go shopping for Johnny a basketball. They go shopping and get a basketball for whoever's going to pick it out of the shop. And, you know, if Johnny's mom happens to pick out the ball for Johnny, great. If Sally gets the ball, wonderful. So
somebody got the ball.
Somebody got the basketball. That's what matters. And what also matters is it again brings dignity back into that, because that family earned Christmas. It's not a program where it's a give out handout program. It's an earned program. And they've gone through classes that are focused on job services, budgeting and financial awareness, and health and wellness. So those three aspects, anything from yoga to budgeting 101 to how to prepare a resume or mock interviews and that type of thing. And we have volunteers who conduct those classes. And with that, they earn those rewards that help them participate in that program.
Again, the website, greerrelief.org, greerrelief.org. Caroline Robertson, the executive director at Greer Relief, has been my guest today. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Thank you. And if anybody's interested in learning more about that program, we have a ribbon cutting on December 14th at 4:30, and we'd love to have anybody come out. It's at 410 West Poinsett Street this year.
And again, details at greerrelief.org.
Yes.
Caroline Robertson, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you so much.
This is my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.